5, Luke chapter 5. We're continuing looking at empty things of the Bible. Empty things of the Bible. And what we want to look at tonight is the empty nets and the failure of the disciples. But how that failure was turned around when they simply obeyed the word of the Lord. Have you ever worked for something only to be disappointed to see it come to nothing? Maybe you work for a promotion and you put the hours in and you put the effort in and you poured your heart and soul into that job only to be told that it was being given to someone else. Maybe you've worked for hours and hours and hours with something on the computer only to forget to hit that all-important save button and the program crashes and you lose everything. Sometimes we can work hard and not see any results. And that can be frustrating and that can cause us to want to give up. Maybe we've witnessed to somebody over and over and over and over without seeing any results whatsoever and we attempted to give up. Maybe there are times when we're not getting through to our children and no matter what we say, they just don't seem to listen, they don't seem to get it, and that might cause us sometimes to think, what is the point? They're just not getting it. Maybe, you know, we're not understanding the Word of God and we come to a point where we say, oh, I just can't read it anymore and we want to give up. And maybe sometimes we either give up too easily or we just simply need to trust the Lord more. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1 says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out to them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come around your word. Thank you for the privilege we have to read your word, to study your word, to proclaim your word. And we just pray that, Lord, whatever the need is here tonight, maybe there are areas of our lives that we failed at. Maybe there are parts of our walk that we deem to be a failure. Maybe there's something that we are struggling right now. Maybe we are failing at the same hurdle when it comes to a particular sin. Maybe we are failing at the same hurdle when it comes to restoring relationships. Maybe we are failing at the same hurdle when it comes to putting something right in our lives. And Father, we need to understand and we need to recognize that we can't do this on our own. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just simply be obedient to your word, even when your word makes little sense to us. Father, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight in such a clear and precious and wonderful way, and we'll give you the glory for it. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. When we look at this portion of scripture, we see these men who had worked hard, they had fished all night, and they ended up with nothing. Their nets were empty. They failed to catch anything. Now, oftentimes, failure comes easily to those who don't care about anything. But failure also occurs to those who work hard. Oftentimes, failure is just one of those realities of life. Failure is a reality of a secular life, and failure is a reality of the Christian walk. As one man put it, I do not fail often, but when I do, it is a beauty. Christians do fail sometimes. We are human, after all. So when we fail, is God done with us? You know, are we like some Christian football team or rugby team or whatever it might be, where God as the coach sees us failing on the field and says, right, that's it, you're substituted, you're on the sideline for the rest of the match, there's nothing more I can do with you, you're useless, let me just put you out of the way and let me put somebody else in the game, as it were, that's going to give far more effort than you are? And the answer can be found in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Great Hall of Faith, the faith chapter of the Bible. And this chapter isn't, or shouldn't be called, the chapter of faith. This chapter should be called the chapter of restored failures, because every single one of those that are mentioned in the Hall of Faith had a blemish. They had a failure in their life, which could have caused them to be sidelined from the team, as it were, which could have caused them to be dropped from the team, spiritually speaking. But I'm thankful that the Lord is in the business of restoring failures and not casting us aside as something useless to be done away with. Abraham failed miserably in Egypt, and yet he became the father of many nations. Sarah laughed when God promised that she would be with child, and yet she became the mother of a miracle baby. Isaac lied about his wife, and yet the Lord blessed him. Moses killed somebody, and yet God used him to lead this people out of Egypt. Joshua's lack of prayer at a crucial moment in their lives as a nation concerning the Gibeonites and the battle of Ai caused him great trouble, but God used him nonetheless. Rahab was a harlot, and yet God saved her, and from her came Obed, came Jesse, came David, came the Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritually successful Christian is not the person who never fails, but learns from the mistakes he makes and trusts God's remedy to get back up and move forward, even when we've messed up. Thomas Edison tried experiment after experiment on many of his inventions. He performed 50,000 experiments before the storage battery was developed. After a failure, he would come to the dinner table and say with enthusiasm, "I had good results today. Now I know one more way that it cannot be done." Edison's failures moved him forward, and that's the way we should respond when we fail too. If we fail in our Christian walk, then we ought to get back up, learn from that mistake, learn from that failure, and move forward with the Lord. The saddest position of all is to be unaware of our failures. Is to not learn from our failures, to not admit our mistakes. You can't help a person who does not want help or does not see their need for help. That's what Samson was like. And look where he ended up. When we look at Luke chapter 5, we learn three important lessons from the empty nets. In verse 5, we find Peter telling the Lord, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing." Their fishing trip was a failure. They came back with empty nets. They came back with an empty boat. They came back with an empty morale, as it were. But there are three important things we can learn from the empty net. First of all, the empty net teaches us about preparation. Look at what they were doing in verse 2. There were two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out to them. And what were they doing? They were washing their nets. They had returned with empty-handed, and yet they were still washing the nets. Why? Why would they wash the nets? Why wouldn't they just come back and throw the nets to one side and say, "That's it. Those nets are stupid, and we're not going out again. I don't want to fish again. I didn't catch anything. I'm a failure." So why were they washing their nets? Any good net is going to pick up debris. If they didn't wash the net, then there would be bits and pieces stuck in that net. Maybe, if they hadn't washed the net from before, bits of dead fish, mud, muck from the bottom of the lake, the debris would have been pulled into the boat. The debris then would have made the boat smell. If the fish and mollusks were not clean from the net, then rats would have gnawed at the net, and that would have made the net absolutely useless. If the net was not washed, then the cord of the net would rot and the net would break, making it ineffective. If the net was not cleaned, then the Sea of Galilee was such a clear water that if the net was dirty, the fish would spot it. That's why the fishing was done at night, because in the daytime, the fish could see the boat. If the nets weren't clean, the fish would be able to spot the net a mile away. The men failed on this trip, but I'm sure that wasn't the first time they failed. So what were they doing? They were just preparing for the next time. They didn't allow the failure of that trip to cause them to give up completely. They were prepared. And can I say this to you? It doesn't matter how many times we fail as Christians, we ought to be prepared for the next battle. We ought to be prepared for the next hurdle. We ought to be prepared even for the next failure, because they come. We are human. We have still battle against our flesh nature. And there will be times when we trip up. There will be times when we make mistakes. There will be times when we fail. But what we need to do is to be prepared to keep on keeping on. We've got to keep going. The shame is being content with an empty net. The shame is being content with failure. The shame is simply giving up. Even though they failed, they maintained the discipline and responsibility of preparing for the next time they went out fishing. They took care of what they had and they got ready for the fishing trip. Let me ask you this question. If they'd not washed their nets, when the Lord then said to Peter to launch out into the deep, would they even have been ready to do that? They were prepared. The empty nets teach us about preparation. Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Simply be prepared as a Christian. Understand that failures will come, but that does not mean we get cut from the team and we get cast aside by God. Sometimes failures are there to teach us an important lesson. Sometimes failures are there because we run ahead of God. Sometimes failures are there because we are trusting in our own strength, as it were. Sometimes failures are there because life happens. But what we need to do is we need to be prepared for the next time, to keep going. You know, I remember trying to teach Eve to ride her bike. I never, ever thought she was ever going to get it. Because she was, and I can say this because she's sat by her lover, she was useless. She was absolutely hopeless trying to get her to ride her bike. And she just got to the point where she said, I can't do it. But she kept going, and she kept going. And then eventually, it's like that, and you're running behind them. And they say, oh, I can't do it, I can't do it, don't let go, don't let go. And then suddenly, they realize that you haven't been holding on for quite a while. If we just gave up at the first hurdle of everything, we wouldn't get very far. If we gave up at the first failure in our Christian walk, most of us would have packed it in by now. The empty nets just teach us that failures will come, but we've got to be prepared. Be prepared to keep going. But the empty nets also teach us to follow God's directions. When the Lord said in verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, these men had nothing, but their failure didn't stop the Lord from speaking to them. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I've messed up and therefore the Lord won't speak to me ever again. And here's the thing. It'll be difficult for the Lord to get through to us if we refuse to confess our sins, because the scripture says when we pray, he won't hear us. But that doesn't mean God is finished with us. When we fail, God will speak to us, but we need to be prepared. We need to be willing to listen. We need to follow his directions. If you have failed, then seek the Lord's directions even more. He'll speak to you if you will listen. If there's ever a time to hang on God's leading, to hang on God's word, to hang on God's directions, it's after a failure. Because when we fail, when we fall, when we stumble, if we do things in our strength, if we rely upon our own understanding, that's the moment where we make things worse. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near, Isaiah 55:6 says. Psalm 27:8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep, he was effectively telling him to go back to the place where he failed in the first place. The words launch out come from the words epanago, which means to lead back or to return. Peter was to return to the deep. Peter was to return to the very place where he failed. And the Lord said, if you let down your nets, notice plural, then he would give a draft or a great catch of fish. There may be times when we need to return to the place of failure in order to move on. Some people, and lots of us, we run from our problems. We hide from our problems. We refuse to face those difficult situations in our lives. And sometimes the Lord needs us to work through those obstacles so that he can bring blessings into our lives. By launching out into the deep waters of humility, then we can find God's blessings. The Bible tells us that when we humble ourselves, the Lord exalts us. And this may seem difficult for us, but what we need to do is get to the point where we say to the Lord, Lord, if you say so, I will obey. You know, this command didn't make sense to Peter. And Peter and Andrew, the brothers were fishermen. James and John were fishermen. So they knew what they were doing when it came to fishing. So this command made no sense. When the Lord said, launch out into the deep, launching out was a little more than just a shove from the shore. You know, the Lord wasn't saying, look, just dip your toe in. This was a full-on commitment. They just finished washing their nets. And now they're going to risk, if you like, going back out for another failed attempt. The command didn't make any sense. You know, spiritually speaking, the Lord wants us to launch out. The Lord just doesn't want us to have our toe dipped into a little bit of spirituality, as it were. He wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to develop a deeper, more intimate walk with the Lord. And we have to spend that time with him in word and in prayer. We have to let down our nets, as it were, for a draft. These men were tired. They had fished all night. They'd caught nothing. They had just cleaned the nets. And then the Lord basically said, go back to the point where you caught no fish and get your nets dirty again. And the command made no sense. The best fishing was done at night. That's why they fished at night, so that the fish wouldn't see the shore, because in the cool of the night, the fish came to the surface, to the cooler depths, to the surface. And can I say that God's commands are not always logical? God's commands don't always make sense. When we have a complete and utter understanding on God's words, and we know exactly what God is requiring of us, then there requires no faith. Isaiah 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's commands might not make any sense sometimes, but they work. It doesn't make sense that if you want to lead, you have to serve. It doesn't make sense that if you want to gain, you have to give. It doesn't make sense if you want to be promoted, you have to humble yourself. It doesn't make sense that if you want to be first, you have to be last. It doesn't make sense that if you're reviled and abused, then you have to forgive those who have offended you. The Lord instructed them to go out because blessings were right there at their fingertips. He promised them that they would catch a draft of fish. Understand that even though you failed, God's blessings are still right at your fingertips, within your grasp. Again, Thomas Edison said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. F.W. Boehm stated that men often give up at the very stage which they should keep going on. The productive, effective, successful man or woman does not let adversity affect them. Keep going. Victory might be just around the corner. You know how many times have I heard people saying that their spouse prayed for them for all of these years, 27 years, 17 years, 15 years. What if they gave up at that point where they thought there's just no point to keep on praying? What if they gave up at the wrong moment? Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Just keep going. Run with patience when those around you are quitting and giving up. Run with patience when your health begins to fade like a withering leaf. Run with patience when loved ones are snatched from us, snatched from our side in death. Run with patience when you're down and discouraged. Run with patience when you feel you've accomplished nothing. Run with patience when you feel like giving up. Run with patience when you don't feel like going on. Run with patience. Run with patience and keep on going. It's never a right time to give up. It's never a right time for us to turn our backs on the Lord. Keep going, because his blessings are right there. The Lord Jesus Christ took them back to the exact point of their failure. And he was about to bless them more than they could possibly imagine. Empty nets teach us about having a simple faith in the Lord. It says in verse 5, Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. These men were tired. Having failed didn't help matters at all. The directions from Jesus didn't make sense. They were not the norm. They were not the traditional way to fish. But Peter, here it is, doing what the Lord has commanded him to do, but maybe a little half-heartedly. Understand that traditions go contrary to God's word will tend to rob you of blessings that he wants you to have. You know, sometimes we say, well, we can't do that. We've never done it that way. Well, what does the scripture say? When traditions go against the word of God, they're not worth anything. God's word is what's important. When we look at Bible history, we find a number of examples of God's commands that seemed illogical or impractical, but led to some incredible results. When Israel confronted the city of Jericho, you can imagine Joshua stands there, the captain of the Lord of hosts is there in front of Joshua. And Joshua says, right, what is the command? How are we going to take the city? How are we going to scale the walls? How are we going to conquer the city? And the instructions, walk around it. Once a day for 7 days, and then seven times on the seventh day, and then blow some trumpets. What? That doesn't make sense. But that's what they did. You know, when Gideon was gaining an army to fight the Midianites, you know, when he had those 30,000 men, even that was, small in comparison to the Midianites that had gathered together. And then the Lord says, right, Gideon, this is what I want you to do. Okay, Lord, are we going to attack at night? Are we going to have a pincer movement? Are we going to take them from both sides? Is it going to be guerrilla warfare? What's the plan? No, I want you to go and I want you to get rid of your army. Take them down to 300 men and then stand up on the hillsides, smash a clay jar, reveal a torch, and then shout the sword and the Lord and of Gideon. What? That doesn't make any sense. For the widow had nothing but a cruse of oil, who was about to basically lose her family because she had nothing to pay off her debts, and she's looking for help. And what does the Lord say to her through Elisha? Go and borrow some vessels from all of your friends and neighbors and use that tiny little bit of oil, and that will fill up every single vessel you have. That doesn't make any sense. Naaman the leper was instructed to dip into the Jordan River. You can imagine how the Hebrew maid tells him to go to Israel, go and find Elisha, and the great prophet of God will tell you what to do. Elisha doesn't even bother to come and see Naaman. He speaks to Naaman through Gehazi, his servant, and he is told, go and dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. What? I was expecting you to provide some ointment or to provide some elaborate religious ritual to cleanse this leprosy from me. You know, the rivers, the far part, are far more cleaner than the River Jordan. Well, that doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't always make sense. But if God says it, whether it makes sense to us or not, it doesn't matter. We simply need to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And lean not under thine own understanding. In all our ways we do not acknowledge him. And he'll direct our path. We have to get to the point where we say, if you say so, Lord, I will obey your commands. Peter says to Jesus, if you say so, I'll do it. He said this with his mouth, but not necessarily with his heart. The Lord told him to let down the nets, plural, and he lets down the net, singular. Was Peter thinking, I've just washed these nets. I'm not letting them all down, because I let one down and we'll just kind of humor him for a bit. And at least then we've only got to wash the one net when we go back in after another failed fishing attempt. Again, he has that toe in the water faith, doesn't jump in with both feet like he usually did. His lack of total obedience in following God's specific directions would come to bite him. Why? Because the nets broke. If he'd let down all the nets, then they would have managed to secure that catch of fish without breaking the nets, without sinking the boats. You know, the same thing happens to us if we are half-hearted when it comes to our faith. God's word doesn't complicate our lives. It's our lack of complete compliance that creates the problems for us. As we look at our obedience and our faith in the Lord, is it a toe-in-the-water kind of faith? Do we say one thing with our mouth and yet act another way with our heart? Do we say, yes, Lord, I fully trust you and I fully believe you, and we just pay that lip service? But on the inside, we're an absolute mess of worry and anxiety and questioning God's every word. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. Peter did what he was commanded, even though half-heartedly, and was quickly rewarded. Success came when they stopped fishing according to their knowledge and they began fishing, listening to the word of God. How many times do we try and work things out ourselves instead of just trusting what God's word says? The net broke. It didn't break completely. The tense of the verb is that it began to break. It began to tear. If Peter and the men had done exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ had commanded, then there wouldn't have been the stress on that one net, because they'd have lowered more than one net into the water. By lowering only the one net, Peter missed out on God's best. What if there were far more fish to be caught? Because if they'd let down all of the nets, then maybe all of the nets would have been filled. They didn't haul in as many fish as they could have. Maybe some fish escaped because the nets were damaged. The nets were to be the channels of God's blessing, just like the empty vessels were the channels of God's blessing for that widow. When we are compliant with God's commands, then we can be used in that way. We can be a channel of blessing to somebody else. Has the Lord ever laid somebody on your heart and you've thought, oh, I don't want to text them just in case it's a bother. And that's the day that they need that text. You know, if the Lord has ever laid somebody on your heart, can I just say this, text them, phone them, speak to them. Because the Lord has laid them on your heart for a reason. Don't go against what the Lord is directing you to do and then end up allowing that net to tear, as it were, and those blessings to simply slip through. When we fail to trust the Lord, when we fail to trust His promises, then we limit Him in our lives. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I wonder if the Lord would help us when it comes to those failures in our lives. The empty nets teach us about preparation. We need to be prepared. Failures are going to come. It is a fact of life. If you haven't failed yet, there's a failure on the horizon. If you have failed, in whatever area of your life it may be, then you need to be prepared. Be prepared for the next one. Be prepared to keep going. Be prepared for the Lord to speak to you. Empty nets teach us about following the Lord's directions. Stick to the Word of God. If God tells us to do something, then we are to do it. Not questioning Him. You know, the amount of times my parents would task me with something and they would tell me to do something and you would question them and you would, why have I got to do this? And why can't I do it my way? We're not to do that with the Lord. When the Lord speaks to us, we need to be obedient. That's what Samuel said to Saul. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Saul lost the blessings of God because Saul wasn't obedient to the Lord's directions. And then the empty nets teach us about faith. If we trust the Lord, if we read His word, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If we read His word, our faith will increase. And sometimes failures come into our lives to help our faith increase. Because those are the times when we really need to cling to the Lord. I wonder what it is that you were facing today. I wonder what it is that you've struggled with today. I wonder what it is that you have maybe failed in a big way. Does the Lord need to take you back to that failure? Does the Lord need to take you back to that moment in your life so that you can put things right? So that the Lord can pour out His blessings upon you. We're going to fail many times. But don't allow those failures to cause you to be ineffective for the Lord. Don't allow those failures to cause you to defeat yourself. Don't allow those failures for the devil to whisper those lies in your ears that God is done with you. That you were of no more use to Him. Because guess what? The majority of people that God used in the Bible were just that. Failures. But they were restored failures. Don't let a failure convince you that your race is done. You run with patience the race that is set before you. And if you fall down, you get back up and keep running. Because God is never going to pull you out of the team, as it were. Keep going. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight, Lord. We just pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts. Just ask, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one that's gathered together in this way tonight. And maybe there's someone here listening to this message tonight, Lord, that is at a point in their lives where they are discouraged because of a particular failure that they struggle with, because of something that's happened in their lives that they're unable to rectify. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to them in such a clear way tonight, that you would help them to understand that you can make that restoration, that you can put them back on the right path, as it were. So Father, I pray that you would just help us tonight, Lord. If there's one listening to this message that has yet to trust Christ as their Savior, may tonight be the night that they call upon the name of the Lord. And for those of us, Lord, who have trusted you as our Savior, would you help us in those areas of our lives where we failed, in those areas of our lives where we've struggled? Help us, Lord, to be prepared to follow your directions and for our faith to be increased because we are listening and being obedient to your word. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We sing our last hymn together, Victory in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we close in a word of prayer, can I just say thank you to everybody that watches these messages online. Thank you to everybody that likes them on Facebook, the comments, and apologies that I don't get around to, you know, to responding to every single comment. It is encouraging to see that people are following the services. It's encouraging to know that the church is gathering together at the right time. It does make a difference when you know that everybody is together at 11 o'clock and 6 o'clock, because it can be tough preaching to an empty church, but it is so encouraging to know that people are online watching. So thank you so much for being a part of our services, and we can't wait to be back together again in whatever way when these restrictions are eased. So thank you to everybody. There's been such a blessing for your texts, for your kindness, for your love, for your visits, and we just want to say that we love you, church, and we can't wait to meet together again. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time together tonight, Lord. Thank you to everybody that's tuned in this evening, Lord. Everybody from Bethany and those from other churches, Lord, that have joined us. What a blessing it is to be a part of the family of God. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. And Father, I pray that you would just help us in these days, that you would encourage us. And no matter how many times we fail and we stumble and we fall, I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is by our side to pick us back up and put us back on our feet for us to keep on going in this race that is set before us. So, Father, would you just bless us as we go our separate ways now, Lord? Would you be with us when we meet again together, Lord? And I just pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts in such an incredible way, and we'll praise you for it. We love you, Lord, and pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.